Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Shadow Conspiracy, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together.
Chapter 1: The Spark. The sky didn't cry for my father. It screamed. Rain lashed the cemetery like shrapnel, tearing petals from the wilted roses piled on his coffin. I stood there, soaked to the bone, staring at the glossy mahogany box that held what was left of him. The priest's words slithered through the storm, hollow and rehearsed. A man of integrity, beloved father. Called home too soon. Integrity. That word made my teeth ache. They'd dressed his murder in a suit and tie, called it self-inflicted trauma. The coroner's report? A joke. No gunpowder residue on his hands. No history of depression. Just a single bullet to the right temple, a .38 special they claimed he'd bought himself. A tragic lapse in judgment, the press crooned. Like a man who spent his life building bridges would suddenly decide to blow his brains out over a spreadsheet. Lies. All of it. The wake was a fucking circus. Our brownstone, usually cluttered with Dad's blueprints and half-fixed radios, had been sterilized into a museum of grief. Mom floated through the rooms in a Valium haze, her mascara bleeding down her cheeks like ink. Politicians crowded the parlor, vultures in Italian suits, nibbling on canapes and trading whispers. Senator Marcus Kane found me first. Elena, he said, gripping my shoulder like we were old pals. His cufflinks gleamed, engraved with the Senate seal. Your father was a good man. A complicated loss. I forced my lips into a brittle smile. Thank you, Senator. He always spoke highly of your ethics. His eyes narrowed, just for a flicker. Then he leaned in, whiskey breath hot against my ear. Grief can cloud the mind, sweetheart. Be careful where you step. The threat slithered under my skin, but I held his stare. Funny. He said the same thing about power. He stiffened, then melted back into the crowd, leaving me trembling with rage. Later, I hid in Dad's study, the only room they hadn't sanitized. His desk was a relic of chaos, coffee rings staining the wood, a half-disassembled pocket watch scattered in pieces. I traced the dent in the wall where he'd thrown a wrench after the city rejected his safety overhaul for the subway. They'd rather bury corpses than admit they're wrong, he'd snarled. That's when I remembered the floorboard. Kneeling, I peeled back the rug, fingers searching for the groove he'd shown me when I was 12. Emergency stash, he'd joked, winking as he tucked a roll of cash under the board. For when the world goes to hell. The wood creaked as I pried it up. Dust floated in the dim light, and there it was, a silver flash drive, wrapped in a post-it note. Lena, if you're reading this, I'm sorry. They're deeper in than I thought. Don't trust anyone. Not even the badges. Burn this. Love, Dad. The paper crumpled in my fist. I waited until midnight, when the house groaned with silence. Mom's pills had finally dragged her under, and the last mourners had slithered back to their limos. In the glow of Dad's cracked laptop, I plugged in the drive. The folder was labeled Project Phoenix. Inside, a nest of subfolders, each a grenade. Contracts, bids for the subway expansion, all rigged. A shell company called Granite Horizons winning every contract, then subcontracting to firms linked to Kane's brother-in-law. Payments, wire transfers from offshore accounts. Millions funneled to Roth's charity, a front for arming warlords in Sudan. Media, photos of Rourke at a fundraiser, his hand wedged between the thighs of a girl who couldn't be older than 16. Her face blurred, but his leer was crystal clear. And then there were the audio files. Goddamn engineers asking too many questions, Kane's voice, tinny but unmistakable. Handle it. Clean. We own the precinct. A growl I recognized as Chief Alden, his tongue thick with scotch. Make it look personal. Wife finds him, maybe. A third voice, razor-edged. Roth. No loose ends. His daughter's sharp. She's a kid, Kane snapped. And kids talk. The recording ended with the clink of glasses. A toast to murder. I barely made it to the bathroom before I retched. When the heaving stopped, I clicked the video file. Black and white surveillance footage, timestamped 2:14 a.m., the night he died. Dad sat at his desk, sleeves rolled up, squinting at a schematic. The door burst open. Two men in suits, badges on their belts, marched in. "Evening, Mr. Voss." The taller one smiled, his scar twisting like a worm on his cheek. "Senator sends his regards." Dad stood, chair screeching. "Get out. See, that's the problem." The scarred man drew a pistol, suppressor already screwed on. "You don't know when to walk away." Bang! The bullet tore through Dad's knee. He collapsed, screaming. "Where's the drive?" the cop hissed, pressing his shoe into the wound. "Go to hell." Bang! Shoulder this time. Dad writhed, gasping. The second cop flipped him onto his back, gun hovering over his eye. "Last chance." Dad spat blood. "Rot in a ditch." The cop shrugged. "Your kid's next." Dad's face contorted, rage, fear, then resolve. "Fuck. You." Bang. The screen went black. I don't know how long I sat there, fists jammed into my mouth to stifle the screams. The laptop dimmed, but the afterimage of his body stayed burned behind my eyelids. When the sun rose, I was still at his desk, Dad's MIT hoodie drowning me in the smell of motor oil and spearmint gum. I'd mapped it all out, every name, every transaction, every sin. Kane. Roth. Rourke. Alden. They'd taken his life. I'd take their fucking empire. I buried copies of the drive in places they'd never think to look. Behind a loose brick in the subway tunnel Dad had condemned, inside a Ziploc taped to the underside of a park bench he'd repainted every summer. The third I kept close, sewn into the lining of my boot. Then I packed a bag. Passport. Cash. Dad's old switchblade, the one he'd carried since college. Mom found me at the door, her pupils dilated and drifting. Lena? I kissed her forehead, her skin waxy and cold. I'll fix it, I whispered. Her fingers clawed at my sleeve. Don't become them. Too late. The subway platform was deserted, the air thick with urine and rust. I boarded the last train, clutching Dad's keychain, a tiny steel bridge he'd forged himself. As the tunnel swallowed us whole, I replayed Roth's words in my head. She's sharp. Sharp enough to gut them. Sharp enough to make it hurt. Chapter 2, The Puppeteer. Senator Marcus Kane didn't just fuck his mistress on Tuesdays. He fucked her on Thursdays too, right after his morning prayer breakfast with evangelical donors. I knew because I'd been crouched in the alley across from her apartment for 3 weeks, freezing my ass off, watching his black town car slither into the curb like clockwork. His driver, a slab of muscle named Vic, would scan the street before opening the door. Kane always stepped out like he owned the pavement, adjusting his tie like he hadn't just sucked down a flask of single malt in the back seat. The mistress's name was Lila. Early 20s, all legs in desperation. She worked part-time at a boutique that sold $800 handbags to politicians' wives and pretended not to notice when their husbands came sniffing. I'd followed her home one night, watched her cry in a bathtub full of vodka and bubble bath, screaming into her phone about how Kane hadn't paid her rent in 2 months. "You said I wouldn't have to work anymore." Pathetic, but useful. I waited until Vic left for a smoke break. Then I slipped into the building, picking the lock of Lila's apartment with a bobby pin I'd sharpened on the subway tracks. Her place reeked of stale perfume and regret. Silk robes tossed over chairs, high heels scattered like landmines. I planted two cameras, one in the bedroom ceiling fan, another in the showerhead. Let Kane think God was watching. But I wasn't here for porn. I needed leverage. Her laptop sat open on the kitchen counter, a half-written email to Kane begging for money. "Marcus, please, I can't keep doing this." I cloned her hard drive in 90 seconds, pocketing a thumb drive full of voicemails. "Baby, you're gonna love what I'm wearing tonight," his voice gravelly and hungry. "Leave the lingerie on. I want to taste you while you cry. Disgusting. Perfect." A week later, I dressed like I belonged in Kane's world. A tailored pantsuit, blood-red lipstick, hair twisted into a knot sharp enough to stab someone. The Capitol building loomed ahead, all marble and lies. I flashed a fake press badge at security, breezing through metal detectors with a smile. His office was on the third floor, guarded by a 20-something intern with a hollow stare. "Do you have an appointment?" I leaned over her desk, letting my blouse gape just enough. "Tell the senator it's about Lila. And the video from October 12th. She paled, stammering into the intercom. The door swung open. Kane stood framed in the threshold, his smile a knife wound. "Miss Voss, I've been expecting you." The room stank of power, leather, mahogany, and the acrid tang of fear. He didn't offer me a seat. "Let's skip the bullshit," I said, tossing a photo on his desk. Lila, bent over his leather couch, her ass red with handprints. Your wife's a devout woman, isn't she? Chair of the Family Values Coalition. How's she gonna feel when TMZ runs this? He didn't flinch. Just lit a cigar, the smoke coiling between us like a serpent. You think I'm the first politician to dip his pen in another inkwell? I'll call it a deepfake. Donate to a women's shelter. They'll cheer for me. Maybe. I slid the voice recorder next, thumb hovering over play. But how about the part where you promise Lila a no-show job at the EPA? Or the $200,000 you funneled through her cousin's landscaping company? His jaw twitched. Or, I said leaning in, the voicemail where you tell her to abort your kid? I'll ruin you if you keep it. Pro-life voters love that shit, right? The cigar trembled. What do you want? A confession. All of it. The subway bribes, my father's murder, the syndicate. You say it, I disappear. He laughed, cold and hollow. You're out of your depth, little girl. You think I don't have people watching you? Your mommy's Valium habit? Her shopping trips? The threat punched through me, but I didn't blink. I think you're staring down a primary challenge from a guy who'd strangle his own mother to air your dirty laundry. And I think I've got his number on speed dial. Silence. Then, slowly, he reached into his desk drawer. My hand flew to the switchblade in my pocket, but he pulled out a bottle of bourbon instead. Poured two glasses. You've got balls, he said, sliding one toward me. Your old man's, I guess. I didn't drink. I've got something he didn't. A taste for blood. He talked. It took 3 hours. 3 hours of him pacing, sweating, lying, then folding when I played another clip. Roth's voice on tape, calling him a coke-snorting liability. 3 hours of him detailing how they'd rigged the subway bids. How Chief Alden's cops had staged my father's suicide. The syndicate's not some fucking club, he spat. It's a hydra. You cut off my head, two more grow. Good thing I brought a flamethrower, I said, sliding the recorder into my purse. He grabbed my wrist, fingers digging into bone. You walk out of here, you're dead. They'll peel your skin off for this. I yanked free, smiling. Tell them to get in line. That night, I met Lila at a dive bar near the docks. She wore sunglasses indoors, her neck mottled with bruises. He hurt you? I asked, pushing a manila envelope across the table. She laughed, bitter and cracked. He likes to pretend I'm his wife. Says it's more fun when I fight back. Inside the envelope, a one-way ticket to Belize, $50,000 in cash, and a new passport. Why? She whispered. Because he's gonna come for you next. I stood, tossing a burner phone on top. And when he does, I want you to answer. Back in my shitty motel room, I uploaded Kane's confession to 3 secure servers. Then I opened the bottom drawer of the nightstand, where Dad's .38 special lay wrapped in oilcloth. They're deeper in than I thought, his note had said. I clicked the safety off. Deeper, maybe. But not untouchable. Chapter 3, The Web. Clara Roth didn't fuck men. She fucked countries. I learned that the hard way, hunched over a library microfiche machine at 3 a.m., squinting at redacted Pentagon reports from her early years. Roth's career was a graveyard of scorched earth, Kandahar, Mosul, Kiev. She left allies bleeding in the dirt and called it strategic realignment. But it was Sudan that caught my eye. October 12, 2017. A training exercise gone wrong. A village called Al-Hadid wiped off the map. Civilian casualties classified. The Pentagon's press release called it regrettable collateral. But Dad's files told a different story. Grainy drone footage showed Roth's signature on a strike order, greenlighting a missile run on a schoolhouse. Followed by a $20 million transfer from a defense contractor to her husband's agricultural nonprofit. Bile rose in my throat. I'd seen monsters before, but Roth was a fucking titan. Finding her weakness took 6 weeks. 6 weeks of sleeping in my car outside Langley, bribing janitors with burner phones to swipe trash from her office. I learned she drank Earl Grey with honey, did Pilates at 5 a.m., and had a daughter at Yale who hadn't spoken to her in 3 years. Sophie Roth, 22, art history major. Rehab stint last spring. I found Sophie at a gallery opening in Soho, draped over a sculptor twice her age. Her eyes were glassy, pupils swallowing the blue. She laughed too loud at his jokes, her wrist bandaged where she'd tried to carve failure into her skin. Your mom ever visit? I asked, handing her a champagne flute. She snorted, smearing red lipstick on the rim. Clara? She sends a card every Christmas. Make better choices. You ever want to hurt her back? Sophie froze. Who the fuck are you? I slid a photo across the bar, Sophie at 8, grinning on Roth's shoulders at the Lincoln Memorial. Someone who knows what it's like to hate your parents. She talked. Not much at first, Snide remarks about Roth's Ice Queen persona, how she'd missed every ballet recital, every birthday. But when I showed her the Al Hadid footage, she broke. She told me it was a mistake, Sophie whispered, tears streaking her mascara. That the intel was bad. Lies. Help me bury her, I said. And you'll never see my face again. The plan was simple. Sophie would wear a wire to their family therapy session, Roth's latest PR stunt to soften her image. All I needed was one admission. One slip. But Roth was a fucking bloodhound. The second Sophie walked into her Georgetown brownstone, Roth's security team swarmed her. Pat down. Bag search. Scanned for devices. Really, mother? Sophie spat. Roth sipped her tea, immaculate in a cream pantsuit. You've been spending time with Elena Voss. My blood turned to ice. Who? The girl who got Kane to sing like a canary. Roth set down her cup. Did you think I wouldn't notice your little gallery friend? Sophie bolted. Made it halfway to the door before two suits tackled her. They called me from Sophie's phone. Miss Voss. Roth's voice was polished steel. Let's negotiate. The safe house stank of paranoia. I'd moved three times since Kane's confession, but Roth's men still found the motel. Found me. They dragged me to an underground garage, black bag over my head, hands zip-tied. When the hood came off, I was in a concrete room. Roth sat across a steel table, Sophie gagged and bound in the corner. You've got spine, Roth said. But spine's easy to snap. I grinned, blood from a split lip staining my teeth. You're scared. Good. She backhanded me. Split the other lip. Where's the footage? Already public, I lied. Dead man switch. Kill me, and Al Hadid trends worldwide. Another lie. But Roth hesitated. You think you're the first idealist to come at me? She leaned in, her Chanel No. 5 suffocating. I've drone-striked children for less. Then do it. Silence. Then a click. Roth drew a pistol, pressed it to Sophie's temple. Last chance. Sophie whimpered. Go ahead, I said, heart hammering. Give the world a front-row seat to family values. Roth's finger tightened. Wait! The word tore out of me. She smiled. There's the girl. I traded the Sudan files for Sophie's life. Or so Roth thought. The USB I gave her was a decoy, loaded with malware that fried her mainframe. By the time her tech boys figured it out, I'd leaked the real files to a journalist in Berlin. The headline dropped at dawn. Pentagon official linked to massacre in secret memos. Roth's face flooded every screen in DC. Sophie found me under the Key Bridge, shivering in the November cold. You used me, she said. Yeah. She handed me a thumb drive. Security codes to her private jet. She's fleeing to Caracas tonight. I raised an eyebrow. Fuck her, Sophie said, lighting a cigarette with shaking hands. I want to watch her burn. Chapter 4, The Trap. Tom Rourke didn't just cheat on his wife. He collected mistresses like trophies, students, interns, the occasional traffic cop he'd pull over just to watch her squirm. But his real addiction wasn't sex. It was control. The kind that left bruises under silk blouses and silenced sobs in City Hall broom closets. I knew because I'd spent weeks crawling through his digital dumpster, piecing together his sins from shredded emails and deleted Grindr messages. But Rourke wasn't Kane sweating over a mistress. He wasn't Roth, brittle under the weight of war crimes. Rourke was a predator, slick and grinning, and to break him, I had to become prey. I created Alicia, 23, a grad student interning at the mayor's office. Auburn hair, freckles, a laugh like wind chimes. I built her online footprint with surgical precision. Instagram full of brunch pics and hashtag resistance posts. A Tinder bio that teased, swipe right if you've read Marks. Rourke's type. Smart enough to flirt with, naive enough to ruin. It took 4 days for him to message her. Alicia, loved your take on municipal waste reform. Coffee tomorrow. I replied with a blushing emoji. Only if you're buying, Mr. Mayor, winky face. The meetup was at a boutique cafe downtown, all exposed brick and overpriced lattes. I wore a wire under my sweater, a .22 strapped to my ankle, and enough makeup to dull the resemblance to my father's obituary photos. Rourke arrived late, oozing cologne and entitlement. Alicia. He kissed my hand, lingering. You're even sharper in person. I giggled, twisting a strand of hair. You're making me blush. He talked about public service over cappuccinos, his foot brushing mine under the table. You've got fire. I could use that on my team. Team. The word slithered out, greasy with implication. What kind of team? I bit my lip, leaning in. His smile widened. Let's discuss it somewhere private. His penthouse was a monument to excess, gold fixtures, a bearskin rug, a glass case displaying his collection of vintage bourbon. And cameras. Everywhere. Hidden in smoke detectors, behind mirrors, even the fucking toaster. Rourke liked souvenirs. Drink. He poured two fingers of something that cost more than my rent. I shouldn't. I let the sentence hang, breathless. He pressed the glass into my hand, fingers trailing my wrist. Relax. We're just talking. We weren't. Within minutes, his hands were on my waist, his tongue in my mouth, whiskey sour and hungry. I let him push me onto the couch, let him fumble with my blouse, let him whisper, "God, you're perfect," into my neck. Then I reached into my purse and hit the panic button. The door burst open. Police. Except it wasn't cops. It was a 6'4" drag queen named Candy Crush, dressed in a badge and a cheap wig, waving a toy gun. What the fuck? Rourke scrambled off me, pants around his ankles. Candy snapped photos with a burner phone. Smile, motherfucker. You're trending by sunrise. The blackmail was almost too easy. $5 million, I said, flipping through the photos in his office the next morning. Rourke looked like he'd swallowed a grenade. Or TMZ gets a gallery of you getting arrested by a queen in sequins. He lunged across the desk. You think I'm scared of some drag queen trash? I didn't flinch. No, but you're terrified of your donors. The ones who fund your traditional values pack. How's that gonna play at the next gala? Mayor Rourke's kink shame? His face purpled. I'll have you killed. Already tried. I tossed a file on his desk. Security footage of his goon planting a car bomb outside my motel. Cute. But your guy's got a gambling problem. And a wife who doesn't know about his boyfriend in Miami. Rourke crumbled. He wired the money to an offshore account, unaware it was a funnel straight to the strikers' union he'd crushed last year. Then he gave me the syndicate's ledger, names, dates, every dirty deal stretching back a decade. You're dead, he hissed as I left. All of you. Candy met me at the LGBTQ center later, still in half-drag, wiping off lipstick with a trembling hand. He recognized me, they said. From the clubs. Called me a freak. I handed them an envelope stuffed with cash. Buy a new wig. Disappear for a while. They stared at the money. Why'd you pick me? Because you've been stomping on pricks like him since before I was born. Candy laughed, sharp and bright. Damn right. That night, I sat in a parking garage, scrolling through the ledger. Names I recognized. Names I didn't. All connected by blood money and silence. My burner rang. Unknown number. Elena. Sophie Roth's voice, raw with panic. They took my mom. Someone else. They're coming for you. A gunshot. Static. Chapter 5, The Unraveling. The gunshot still rang in my ears when I threw my shit into a duffel bag. Sophie's dead. The words looped in my head, sharp and final. I didn't know who'd pulled the trigger, Roth's people, Kane's, Rourke's, but it didn't matter. The syndicate was a hydra, and I'd just pissed on its last head. I found my sister, Jess, at her shitty studio apartment above a bodega in Queens. She was painting when I kicked open the door, her canvas a riot of reds and blacks, like a wound screaming. We need to go. Now, I said, tossing her a burner phone. She didn't look up. They found you. They found us. I yanked her window shut, the streetlight outside casting jagged shadows. Pack your pills. We've got 10 minutes. Fuck your pills. She slammed her brush into a jar of turpentine. You think I'm just another asset to relocate? Another pawn. The word stung. Jess had been Dad's favorite, all soft edges and watercolor dreams. But softness got you killed in this city. I grabbed her wrist, hard enough to bruise. You're alive because I've spent months keeping you off their radar. Now move. We took the F train to Coney Island, the car reeking of piss and fried dough. Jess stared at her reflection in the grimy window, silent. I counted exits, memorized faces. A homeless man muttering about Judgment Day. A teen girl scrolling TikTok, her nails chipped neon green. Normal. But normal was a lie. The safe house was a fishing shack rotting at the edge of the boardwalk. Salt-crusted wood, a busted space heater, and a view of the ocean that looked like God's gray vomit. Jess collapsed onto a mildewed cot, her voice hollow. You're just like them, you know. Dragging everyone into your war. I ignored her, rigging tripwires with fishing line and empty beer cans. There's a boat coming at dawn. Takes you to Halifax. Halifax. She laughed, bitter. What's in Halifax? A life. Without you. The unspoken again hung between us. I'd left her once, after Dad's funeral. Promised I'd fix it. Promised I'd come back. You're safer there, I said. Safe. She spat the word. You don't get to decide what's safe for me. The syndicate found us at 3 a.m. I'd just drifted off Dad's .38 in my lap when the tripwire snapped. Beer cans clattered. Jess jerked awake as the door exploded inward. Two men in ski masks, Glocks raised. Hands up, cunt. I fired first. The bullet tore through the lead guy's throat, blood spraying the wall like abstract art. Jess screamed. The second guy lunged, tackling me to the floor. My head cracked against concrete, the world blurring. His hands closed around my neck. Where's the fucking ledger? He hissed, breath reeking of garlic and hate. I clawed at his eyes, knees bucking. Jess, run. She didn't. Instead, she smashed a brick of frozen mackerel over his skull. He crumpled, and I put two rounds in his chest. You okay? I wheezed, scrambling up. Jess stared at the bodies, her hands shaking. No. We dragged the corpses to the pier, weights duct-taped to their ankles. The ocean swallowed them whole. They'll send more, Jess said, watching the waves. I know. So what's the plan? I lit a cigarette, the flame trembling. I end this. You disappear. She snatched the cig from my lips, took a drag. Bullshit. I'm in. Jess. You think I've been sitting here painting fucking sunsets? She pulled a flash drive from her pocket. I've been inside Rourke's servers for weeks. The ledger's a decoy. The real money's in a shell company called Blackwater Holdings. Owns half the cops in the city. I stared at her. When did she learn to hack? When did she stop being Jess? She smirked. Dad taught me a few things before they killed him. We hit a cyber cafe in Brighton Beach, the kind of place that smelled like stale ramen and regret. Jess plugged into the dark web, fingers flying across the keyboard. Blackwater's funneling cash through a casino in Atlantic City, she said, screens reflecting in her glasses. Laundry's done in the VIP room. High rollers, private security. We get in, we burn it. We. She didn't blink. I'm not hiding anymore, Lena. The old nickname cracked something in me. I'd missed it. Missed her. All right. I tossed her a burner. But you stick to the plan. No hero shit. Says the queen of hero shit. The Diamond Sands Casino was a glittering tumor on the boardwalk. Chandeliers, champagne fountains, and enough security to invade Poland. We posed as rich trust fund twins, Jess in a sequin dress, me in a pantsuit that cost more than the shack. The VIP room was upstairs, guarded by a brick shithouse with a face like a fist. Invitation only, he growled. Jess fluttered her lashes. Daddy said we're on the list. Winslow. He checked a tablet, sneered. Password. Eat the rich, I said. The door opened. Inside, velvet booths, cigar smoke, and Rourke's right-hand man, Tony the Shiv Marino, dealing blackjack to a room full of cops and councilmen. Jess squeezed my arm. That's him. Marino looked up, eyes narrowing. Do I know you? I smiled. You're about to. The fire alarm took out the lights. Jess hacked the grid while I slit Marino's throat with his own steak knife. Chaos erupted. Cops drew guns. Councilmen screamed. Jess dumped gasoline from her designer purse, and I tossed a match. We escaped through the kitchen, the casino roaring into an inferno behind us. Back at the boardwalk, Jess laughed, wild and unhinged. We fucking did it. I didn't laugh. Marino's blood was still under my nails. They'll come harder now, I said. She lit a stolen cigarillo. Let them. The text came an hour later. Unknown number. Your sister dies next. Attached, a photo of Jess, snapped through the cybercafe window. Chapter 6, The Sacrifice. The photo of Jess froze the blood in my veins. They'd been watching us the whole time. The syndicate wasn't just a hydra. It was the fucking ocean, rising to drown us no matter how high we climbed. Jess stared at the screen, her face pale under the boardwalk's flickering fluorescence. They're not gonna stop, she whispered. I crushed the burner phone under my boot, the plastic splintering like bone. They won't get the chance. We ditched the shack, stealing a delivery van from a seafood distributor reeking of yesterday's catch. Jess rode shotgun, her laptop open, tracing the casino money through a labyrinth of offshore accounts. Blackwater Holdings is a front, she said, fingers flying. The real cash flows through a private bank in Zurich. But there's a key holder, someone who can access the vaults. Name's Viktor Drazhin. Ex-Spetsnaz. Runs security for the syndicate. I gripped the wheel tighter. Where? Midtown. Penthouse at the Aurora Tower. He's got a wife. Two kids. The words hung between us. Kids. Jess looked at me. We don't have a choice. I swerved into an alley, the van's tires screeching. There's always a choice. Not anymore. She pulled up a photo, Drazhin at a gala, his hand on the small of a teenager's back. He's not clean, Lena. None of them are. The Aurora Tower gleamed like a razor blade, its glass facade reflecting the city's rot. We posed as janitors, stolen ID badges clinking against our hips. The service elevator stank of bleach and regret. Drajan's penthouse took up the entire 60th floor. Jess hacked the security panel while I picked the lock, my hands steady. Dad's hands. Inside, marble floors, a grand piano, family portraits of Drajan grinning with politicians I'd burned. A little girl's pink backpack lay by the couch, stickers of unicorns peeling at the edges. Bedroom, Jess hissed, nodding to a hallway. We moved in silence. The master suite was dark, the air thick with vodka and sweat. Drajan snored in a four-poster bed, his wife curled beside him. A Glock on the nightstand. I pressed the .38 to his temple. Wake up, shitbird. His eyes flew open. Sika. Speak English, I said, clicking the safety off. Where's the Zurich key? He spat in Russian, reaching for the gun. I shot his hand. His scream shattered the silence. His wife bolted upright, scrambling for the panic button. Jess tackled her, duct taping her mouth. Key, I repeated, pressing the barrel to his left eye. Or I paint the walls with your wife's brains. He cracked. Gave us a safe combination in his office. Inside, a titanium keycard, a ledger of every syndicate transaction, and a USB labeled insurance. Jess plugged it into her laptop. Holy shit. It's a kill list. Judges. Reporters. Us. Drajan laughed, blood bubbling on his lips. You're already dead. I pistol-whipped him. Join the club. We were halfway to the elevator when the girl appeared. 9 years old, clutching a stuffed rabbit, her eyes wide. Are you robbers? Jess froze. No, sweetie. We're friends of your dad's. The girl pointed to my gun. Daddy has one too. He says it's to protect us. My throat tightened. Go back to bed. She didn't move. Are you gonna hurt him? Yes. No, I lied. The elevator dinged. Security poured out, three men with assault rifles. Down! I shoved Jess behind a potted fern, firing wildly. Bullets shredded the walls, family photos exploding into confetti. Drajan's wife screamed through her gag. Lena! Jess tossed me a smoke grenade from her bag. I pulled the pin, lobbing it. The room filled with acrid fog. We ran, bullets biting the air. The girl stood in the crossfire, rabbit dangling from her hand. Move! I grabbed her, diving behind the piano. A bullet grazed my thigh, hot and searing. You lied, she whispered. I shoved the rabbit into her arms. Stay here. Jess dragged me into the elevator, jamming the close button. She's his kid, Lena. And we're monsters, I snarled, blood soaking my jeans. Get used to it. The van was gone. Tow lot. We limped into a subway station, blending with the rush hour crowd. My leg burned, the bullet wound leaking through my bandages. Jess sat me on a bench, ripping her scarf to tie a tourniquet. We need a hospital. No. They'll be watching. You'll bleed out. I gripped her collar, yanking her close. Listen to me. The syndicate's crumbling. Kane's in hiding. Roth's on the run. Rourke's bleeding money. We end this tonight. She blinked back tears. How? I pulled Drajan's keycard from my pocket. We bankrupt them. Every dirty dollar gone. But I need you to disappear. Fuck that. I'm staying. Jess, you don't get to die alone. Her voice echoed off the tiles, commuters staring. Dad left me too, remember? Walked out the door and never came back. I'm not losing you the same way. The train roared in, drowning her words. We met Candy at a drag bar in Hell's Kitchen, the bass thumping like a panicked heart. They handed me a forged passport, their makeup smudged with sweat. They're on to you, they said. Rourke's offering $1 million for your head. I stuffed the passport into my bag. What did you tell him? That I'd sooner suck a landfill. Jess hugged them. Thank you. Candy stiffened, then melted. Go burn it all down, honey. The bank heist was a suicide mission. Zurich Private Trust was a fortress. Biometric scans, armed guards, vaults rated for nuclear war. But Drajan's keycard bypassed it all. Jess hacked the cameras from a stolen BMW outside, her voice crackling through my earpiece. Two guards at the vault. Take them quiet. I wore a janitor's uniform, reeking of ammonia, pushing a cart of cleaning supplies. The guards barely glanced up. Evening, I said, smiling. They frowned. No service after. I shot the first in the throat. The second reached for his radio. Jess fried the frequency, and I put a bullet in his knee. Where's the override? I hissed, pressing the gun to his wound. He screamed the code. The vault hissed open. Inside, stacks of gold bars, bearer bonds, and a server farm humming with the syndicate's digital fortune. I planted explosives on the servers, timers set to 5 minutes. Elena, go! Jess shouted. I ran. Guards chased. Bullets sparked off the marble. The blast rocked the block, shattering windows for miles. Jess picked me up in the BMW, tires screeching. Did it work? I watched the bank burn in the rearview. Yeah. Then why do you look like shit? I lifted my shirt. The bullet wound in my side oozed crimson. Lena. The world faded to static. Chapter 7, The Bloodbath. The world came back in fragments. Cold steel against my cheek. The stench of gasoline and burnt hair. Jess's voice frayed at the edges, hissing, "Stay awake, goddammit," as she stitched my side with a needle and fishing line. The BMW rattled beneath us, swerving through back alleys, trash cans exploding against the bumper. "How bad?" I slurred, tasting copper. She didn't answer. Just cranked the wheel, sending us fishtailing onto the West Side Highway. The Hudson blurred past, oily and black under the moon. "Jess, you're bleeding inside," she snapped. "I need a hospital." "Fuck your pride." I grabbed her wrist, the stitches pulling. "They'll be waiting. Roth. Kane. All of them. So we die in a parking lot? We die fighting." She punched the dashboard, the stereo blaring static. "Why does it always have to be a fucking war with you?" The headlights caught a figure in the road. Too late. The van T-boned us at 60 miles per hour. Metal screamed. Glass exploded. The BMW flipped, rolling twice before slamming into a guardrail. My head cracked the windshield, the world spinning into a kaleidoscope of pain. Voices. Boots crunching glass. "Check M." A flashlight beam cut through the smoke. I reached for my .38 gun. Jess groaned beside me, pinned under the crumpled door. "This one's alive," a voice said. Hands dragged me out by the hair. A fist slammed into my ribs, fresh blood soaking my shirt. I looked up into the scarred face of Drajan's lieutenant. The same fucker who'd tried to strangle me in the shack. "Miss me, Sika?" He pressed a knife to my jugular. "Drajan sends his love." Behind him, Roth stepped into the light. She looked like hell. Hair greasy, suit stained, her left eye swollen shut. But the pistol in her hand was steady. "Where's the kill list?" I spat blood at her shoes. "Rotting in your vault." She shot Jess in the leg. My sister's scream tore through the night. "Next one's her knee," Roth said. "Then her elbows. Then her eyes." "Talk." Jess whimpered, clutching her thigh. "Lena, please." The knife bit into my throat. "Talk." "Coney Island," I choked. "Locker 417. Combinations 36-24-36. Roth smirked. "Charming." She nodded to her men. "Burn them." They doused the BMW in gasoline, tossed a lit Zippo, and left us to die. Jess sobbed as I hauled her free, our clothes smoldering. The Hudson's icy water saved us, swallowing the flames as we rolled into the shallows. We crawled onto the rocks, coughing up river sludge and blood. "They're gonna check the locker," Jess whispered. "I know." Her eyes widened. "You led them there?" I peeled off my ruined shirt, wincing at the stitches. Locker 417's rigged with C4. The blast lit up the boardwalk an hour later. We watched from a payphone across the river, Jess leaning on a stolen crutch. Flames clawed the sky, swallowing Roth's men whole. "How many?" she asked. "Enough." She stared at me. "When did you plant the bomb?" "When you were busy calling me a monster." Her laugh was thin, broken. "Still are." The safe house was a crack den in the Bronx, reeking of piss and despair. Jess collapsed on a stained mattress, her leg oozing through the bandages. I scavenged antibiotics from a dead dealer's stash, forcing them down her throat with vodka. "You're gonna septic," I said. "You're gonna hell," she mumbled, fading. I kept watch, Dad's .38 in my lap, counting each labored breath she took. The syndicate wasn't done. We weren't done. Kane found us at dawn. He looked worse than Roth, sallow, twitchy, his tailored suit hanging loose on meth-thin bones. But the shotgun in his hands was new. "You little cunt," he seethed, kicking open the door. "You blew up my life." Jess stirred, groggy. "Lena." I stood slowly, hands raised. "You did that yourself, Marcus. You think this is a game?" He racked the shotgun. "I lost my wife. My seat. My fucking legacy. You lost your soul a long time ago." He aimed at Jess. "I'll take hers instead." The blast was deafening. But it wasn't his gun. Candy stood in the doorway, smoking pistol in hand, Kane's brains painting the wall behind them. Their drag was smeared, one false eyelash dangling. "Miss me, bitches?" Jess gaped. "Candy. Rourke's got a bounty on my tits." They kicked Kane's corpse. "Figured I'd cash it myself. I didn't lower the .38. Why help us?" They tossed a burner phone at my feet. "Check the news." The screen showed Rourke's mansion engulfed in flames, headlines screaming mayor linked to syndicate massacre. "Your sister's work," Candy said. "Hacked his servers, leaked everything. Cops are tearing the city apart for him." Jess smiled weakly. "Told you I'm useful." We regrouped in a derelict church in Harlem, the stained glass long shattered, pews rotting. Candy brought supplies, antibiotics, guns, a first aid kit, and a bottle of Jameson. "They're scattering," Candy said, stitching Jess's leg. "Roth's holed up in a bunker under JFK. Rourke's trying to flee the country. But the syndicate's got a failsafe." "The kill list," I said. They nodded. "Goes live at midnight. Every name you exposed, reporters, witnesses, us, gets erased." Jess checked her watch. 6 hours. I reloaded the .38. "Then we hit the source." "What source?" I pulled Drajan's keycard from my boot. "The syndicate's server farm. Underground. Heavily guarded. But this gets us in." Candy whistled. "Suicide." "Yep." Jess stood, testing her weight. "I'm in." Candy sighed. "Fuck it. My best wig's already ruined." The server farm was beneath a sewage plant in Newark, the stench a perfect cover. Armed guards patrolled the perimeter, attack dogs snarling at shadows. "You sure about this?" Candy muttered, adjusting their Kevlar. I checked the keycard. "No, we moved at midnight." Jess hacked the cameras, Candy silenced the dogs with poisoned meat, and I slit the throats of two guards mid-piss. The entrance was a steel hatch, rusted and bolted. Drajan's keycard worked. Inside, a cavern of servers, blinking like 1,000 evil eyes. A digital countdown glowed on the main terminal, 59 minutes and 59 seconds. "Find the kill switch," I yelled, planting C4 charges. Jess dove for the terminal, fingers flying. "It's air-gapped. I need physical access." Gunfire erupted outside. Candy returned fire from the doorway. "Hurry the fuck up." "Got it." Jess jammed a USB into the mainframe. "Kill list disabled." The countdown died. "Now run." I triggered the C4. We didn't make it far. Roth ambushed us in the tunnel, her remaining men flanking her like rabid dogs. She'd lost the suit, dressed in tactical gear, her good eye blazing. "Enough," she snarled. Candy stepped forward. "Clara, baby, let's—" Roth shot them in the chest. Candy crumpled, gasping. "Well, shit," Jess screamed. I fired, dropping two goons before Roth's bullet took my shoulder. The world blurred. Roth stood over me, pistol aimed at my skull. "Any last words?" "Yeah." I grinned. "Check your six." The server farm exploded. Chapter 8, The Inferno. The explosion didn't just hit, it unmade everything. 1 second, Roth's pistol was kissing my forehead, her good eye lit with holy fire. The next, the world split open in a roar of heat and light, the server farm erupting like a dying star. The blast threw me back, my skull cracking against concrete as debris rained down. Chunks of steel, shards of glass, the mangled husks of servers screaming sparks into the smoke. I couldn't hear. Couldn't breathe. Just the high-pitched whine of ruptured eardrums and the coppery tang of blood flooding my mouth. I rolled onto my side, coughing up ash and phlegm, my vision swimming. Jess was a blur nearby, crawling through the wreckage, her bandaged leg leaving a smeared trail of red. Candy's body lay half-buried under a beam, their sequined top charred black, one false eyelash still clinging to a burnt lid. "No time. No time to mourn." Roth emerged from the smoke like a demon spat out of hell. Her tactical gear was shredded, skin blistered, hair singed to a brittle halo. But the gun in her hand was steady. "You," she rasped, voice raw from screaming. "This ends now." I scrambled for my .38, but it was gone, lost in the blast. Jess lunged at Roth, swinging a jagged pipe. Roth sidestepped, slamming the pistol into Jess's temple. My sister crumpled, her glasses skittering into the dark. "Touch her again, and I'll peel your fucking skin off," I roared, surging up, my shoulder screaming where her bullet had torn through muscle. Roth laughed, a wet, guttural sound. "You're nothing. A scared little girl playing soldier." She kicked Jess onto her back, pressing the gun to her chest. "Just like your daddy." Something inside me snapped. I charged, tackling her to the ground. We rolled through embers and broken glass, hands clawing, teeth gnashing. She kneed my wound, white-hot pain exploding down my side. I headbutted her, feeling cartilage crunch. She spat blood, her thumbs gouging my eyes. "He begged," she hissed, her breath rancid. "Your father." On his knees, crying like a bitch. "Please, I have daughters." I sank my teeth into her wrist, bone grinding between my molars. She howled, dropping the gun. I grabbed it, shoved the barrel under her chin. "Tell him I said hello." I pulled the trigger. Click. Empty. Roth grinned, her teeth pink with blood. Oops. She flipped us, her hands closing around my throat. You lose. The world dimmed. Jess's screams faded. Then, bang. Roth jerked, a red bloom spreading between her shoulders. She slumped, deadweight crushing me. Jess stood behind her, trembling, Candy's smoking pistol in her hand. I couldn't let her. I shoved Roth's corpse aside, gasping. You did good. The tunnel was collapsing. Ceiling tiles crashed down, water pipes bursting, scald-hot steam filling the air. We stumbled toward the exit, Jess leaning on me, her leg a ruined mess. Candy, she sobbed. Leave them. I barked. Move. We emerged into the sewage plant's yard, the night air thick with the stink of burning plastic. Syndicate SUVs screeched into the lot, headlights pinning us like insects. There! Gunfire erupted. We dove behind a dumpster, bullets pinging off metal. We're pinned. Jess yelled. I peered out. Six men armed to the teeth. Rourke's personal guard. Fuck. Then headlights. A garbage truck plowed through the gate, engine roaring. It T-boned an SUV, sending men scattering. The driver's door flew open. Sophie Roth. Get in, she screamed. We ran. Jess hauled herself into the cab. I climbed in after, bullets shredding the windshield. Sophie hit the gas, crashing through the chain-link fence. Why? I demanded as we fishtailed onto the highway. Sophie's knuckles were white on the wheel. She was my mother. And I want to piss on her grave. The safe house was a decommissioned subway car beneath Red Hook, rusted and stinking of mildew. Sophie dragged a medkit from under a bench, tossing it to Jess. Stitch her up, she ordered, jerking her chin at me. Jess's hands shook as she cleaned my shoulder. This is deep. You need a hospital. No hospitals, Sophie snapped. They're crawling with syndicate. I studied her, Roth's eyes, Roth's jawline, but none of her ice. Just fury. Why help us? She lit a cigarette with a Zippo. You think I didn't know? The villages. The kids. She thought I was too fragile. Her laugh was a broken thing. I was her weakness. Her guilty conscience. Jess tied off my bandage. What now? Sophie pulled a key card from her pocket. Roth's master key, swiped from her corpse. The syndicate's got a bunker. Armory cash flight manifests. We hit it. Burn the rest. I stood dizzy. Why? Because they took my father too. Not just yours. She met my gaze. He tried to stop her. They drowned him in our pool. The confession hung in the air, raw and ugly. Jess broke the silence. We're in. The bunker was under a derelict church in Queens, its steeple long collapsed. Sophie swiped Roth's keycard, the hidden door hissing open. Inside, rows of assault rifles, stacks of cash, and a wall of screens showing live feeds of the city burning. Jackpot, I muttered. Jess hacked the terminal. Flight plans. Rourke's escaping to Caracas tonight. Private jet. Sophie stuffed a duffel with cash. Let him run. The cartels'll skin him alive. I grabbed C4 from the armory. Burn it all. We rigged the charges, timers set to 10 minutes. Wait. Sophie picked up a photo from Roth's desk, her and a man at the beach smiling. Sophie's father. She pocketed it. Now burn it. The blast lit up the sky as we sped away, the church collapsing into hellfire. Sophie pulled over on the Brooklyn Bridge, staring at the flames. It's done, she said. Jess frowned. Is it? My burner buzzed. A text from an unknown number. A photo of Mom, gagged and bound in her kitchen. Last chance. Come alone. The address was our old brownstone. Chapter 9, The Ashes. The brownstone looked smaller now. The porch light flickered, the same way it had the night Dad died. I stood across the street, staring at the house I'd grown up in. The house Mom had refused to leave even after they'd turned it into a tomb. My hands shook, not from fear, but from the fucking rage boiling in my veins. The text had been clear, come alone. But alone was all I had left. Jess grabbed my arm as I stepped onto the curb. It's a trap, Lena. You know it is. Sophie cocked the pistol she'd taken from Roth's bunker. We're going in. I shook my head. He wants me. You stay here. Like hell, Jess spat. They took my mom too. The words hung between us, sharp and final. I'd spent months shielding her from this, from me, and now here we were. Two broken girls standing in the shadow of a funeral home. Fine, I said. But when I say run, you run. The front door creaked open, the hallway littered with shattered picture frames. Mom's favorite vase lay in pieces, the roses Dad had planted for her now brown and brittle. The air reeked of gasoline and stale cigars. Rourke sat in Dad's armchair, Mom gagged and bound at his feet. He looked like a corpse someone had stuffed into a tailored suit, eyes sunken, skin jaundiced, his once-greased hair matted with sweat. A syringe dangled from his fist, the needle still glistening. "Elena," he slurred, grinning with cracked lips. "Knew you'd come. Family's always the soft spot." Mom whimpered, her eyes pleading. "Don't." I stepped closer, hands raised. "Let her go. It's me you want." "Oh, I want both." He pressed a knife to Mom's throat. "But first, the ledger. The real one. Not that decoy bullshit you fed Marino." Jess hovered in the doorway, Sophie flanking her. I shook my head subtly. "Wait. Ledger's gone," I said. "Burned with the rest." He dug the blade in, a bead of blood trailing down Mom's neck. "Try again." I pulled the flash drive from my pocket. "It's encrypted. Release her, and I'll give you the code." Rourke laughed, phlegmy and wet. "You think I'm stupid? Code first. Then maybe I let her live." I tossed the drive at his feet. 8347 Alpha Zulu. "Your birthday, you narcissistic fuck." He hesitated, then nodded to one of his goons. A slab of meat with neck tattoos. The guy plugged the drive into a laptop, fingers tapping. "It's real," he grunted. Rourke's grin widened. "See? Was that so?" Bang. The goon's head exploded, painting the wall in a Rorschach of blood and bone. Rourke froze. "What the foo?" Bang. Bang. Two more shots, taking out the guards at the stairs. From the shadows, Chief Alden emerged, smoking pistol in hand, his badge glinting. "Evening, Tom." Rourke scrambled up, dragging Mom as a shield. "You. You're supposed to be on my payroll." Alden shrugged. "Payroll's dry. Syndicate's toast. Only one way this ends." I lunged for Mom, but Rourke slashed wildly, the knife catching my forearm. "Back off." Sophie fired, the bullet tearing through Rourke's shoulder. He screamed, dropping the knife. Mom collapsed, and Jess yanked her to safety as Alden advanced. "It's over, Tom," Alden said. "Give it up." Rourke clutched his bleeding shoulder, laughing hysterically. "Over? Nothing's over." He pulled a detonator from his pocket. "You think I didn't plan for this? Whole blocks wired to blow." The color drained from Alden's face. "You're insane. I'm a survivor." Rourke spat, thumb hovering over the button. "Now all of you, guns down, or I turn this street to ash." The standoff crackled like live wire. Alden's pistol wavered. Sophie lowered hers. Jess clutched Mom, sobbing. "And I laughed." Rourke blinked. "What's so funny?" I stepped closer, blood dripping down my arm. "You really think I'd let you have the real ledger?" His grin faltered. "What? That code?" I nodded to the laptop. It didn't decrypt shit. It triggered a worm. Every account, every offshore stash, poof. "You're broke, Tom. And a broke man's got no friends." His face twisted, detonator shaking. "Liar." Alden's phone buzzed. He glanced at it, paling. "He's right. My Swiss account's empty." Rourke roared, lunging at me. "I'll kill you." I sidestepped, grabbing Dad's old wrench from the tool rack. "This is for him." The first blow shattered his kneecap. He crumpled, screaming. The second caved in his ribs. The third? The third was for me. He lay gasping, blood frothing at his lips. "Please." I knelt, wrench pressed to his throat. "Tell the devil the Voss family sends their regards." Crack. Alden aimed at my head. "Drop it." I stood, chest heaving. "You're gonna shoot me? After I cleaned up your mess." "Rules are rules," he said, but his eyes flicked to the detonator still clutched in Rourke's corpse's hand. Sophie stepped forward. "Chief, don't." He hesitated, just for a heartbeat. Jess slammed a fire extinguisher into his skull. He dropped out cold. "Rules are bullshit," she hissed. We dragged Mom to the porch as sirens wailed in the distance. Flames licked the curtains inside, Rourke's gasoline-soaked corpse feeding the inferno. Sophie handed me the detonator. He rigged the whole block. "We've got maybe 3 minutes." I stared at the button. At the house where Dad taught me to ride a bike. Where Mom sang me to sleep. Where Jess and I hid under the stairs during thunderstorms. "Burn it." I pressed the button. The blast was beautiful. Windows shattered. Walls collapsed. The brownstone erupted into a pillar of fire, swallowing Rourke, Alden, and every lie they'd built. We watched from a block away, the heat kissing our faces, the sound of crumbling brick like applause. Mom touched my cheek, her fingers trembling. "You look so much like him." I leaned into her hand, the weight of months, of years, crushing me. "I'm sorry." She shook her head. "No. You finished it. The cops came. The feds. The news vultures." We slipped away in the chaos, Sophie melting into the crowd, Jess clutching Mom's hand. I stood on the bridge, watching the smoke rise. The city was still there, still broken, still bleeding. But the syndicate? The syndicate was ash. Jess found me later, her glasses mended with tape. What now? I lit a cigarette, the flame steady. Now we live. Epilogue. Power doesn't corrupt. It reveals. Roth's body was found in the harbor, fish nibbling her eyes. Kane overdosed in a motel, his final tweet a rambling confession. Rourke's remains were identified by dental records. What the fire didn't take, the rats did. Mom planted new roses. Jess sold her first painting. Sophie? No one knows. And me? I kept Dad's wrench. Clean the blood off. Sometimes, when the nightmares come, I sit in the garage and listen to the radio. Hum Sinatra. And fix things.